Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Sweet pookas, man.
All your fantasy sports updates. Now, the host from the East Coast, here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
You know it. NFL Fantasy Football Sunday, baby. It is the divisional round, the divisional playoff round, and we are set and ready. You're listening to the Wagner Wire on 104.9 The Horn, AM 1260. Streaming live at hornfm.com. I got to get that tag better. We are The Horn.
Yes, we are.
The Horn. And
the
with
horn.
That voice is my man, Ray Gonzalez, RG361. RG from the 361, rather. That's his handle on Twitter. And behind the glass is, as usual, my man, AB, Andrew Baker, Andrew the Texan. You can find him on the Twitterverse there as well. Find me at Not the Fake Wags. And tweet the show at the Wagner Wire and tweet, as always, at The Horn. What's the Horn's tag now, right?
We got a new tag for The Horn.
What is it?
At The Horn ATX.
There it is, man.
So fancy and regional.
Yes.
And
yes.
Like, it is.
We're trying to take over, man. Taking over the whole Central Texas area.
We are local radio here in Texas.
Yeah, so. We are. And you know, I just
the
feel
best radio in
exactly,
Texas.
Exactly. We've been 104.9 The Horn for such a long time, and obviously that's our station. You know, that's the one that most people hear us on. But some people in Round Rock, they're not hearing us on 104.9.
Right, we're on
101.9, or they're hearing us on AM 1260. So you know, we're just gonna start being The Horn.
Because that's what we are. We are the brand, man.
Exactly.
Sometimes
exactly.
You can't hear it on 360.
Exactly.
You can't hear it at all.
It's weird. All these little caverns or whatever. And maybe a crazy little cloud coming in. But yeah, hey, we want to hear from you and, you know, via the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline, which is 512-447-3776, or text us on that Specs text line at 512-337-3776. A lot to get into today. You know, we got an awesome breakdown of this divisional matchup between the AFC and the NFC teams. Talk a little bit about last night and the games between yesterday, or the games yesterday. But, hey, before we get into it, let's get into some announcements real quick. The salary cap fantasy football contest is almost over. You got one more week or two more weeks, I think. But remember, one winner each week. A winner gets $25 gift card from Cabela's. The top three winners each week get entered into a season ending grand prize, which is coming up, and that is four adult tickets to Zip Lost Pines out in Bastrop. Rays dangled from the lines, as we like to say all the time, but I have not. I'm still going to get out there. Maybe I'll go out there with the winner. You know what I'm saying?
That would be fun. The winner of the contest,
I'll go out there and, you know, my little Marine background, I'll teach you how to straddle up and hook up and we'll go dangle together out there, something like that.
Hey, you know what, man, it's all right, dude. Not everybody likes the heights. I know Kevin Dunn went out there and he was a little bit afraid of heights, but he conquered his fear. And that just goes to show that anybody can go out there and
that's
have a good
what
time.
For
anybody
too, can go right? out there and it, have a good helps time. You, it helps you
yeah.
get over the
they
hump.
Preach,
of,
they
of
preach
a
safety out there.
Right.
So that's their biggest concern is your safety. So it's a good time.
On belay, as we like to say, as you're going down there. All right, and anyways, but yeah, we got that coming up. You guys aren't doing the watch parties anymore for the Cowboys.
There is
no more Cowboys games.
Thanks for reminding us.
Yeah. Well, and that brings me to a great point, man. I thought we were going to see Philly get knocked off because I'm a Giants fan. You guys are Cowboys fans, and it would have been great to just have Philly get all this far, get a bad draft pick for next year, and then just bomb and tank.
You know,
but the Westlake hero came through, and one of the Westlake heroes. Came through. The other Westlake here is going to play today too. So,
well, listen, this is a win-win situation for us Philly haters. All right, first of all, we get to see Kalai mope around the station for like a good week because he's our local
hot Atlanta,
Hawaiian native Atlanta fan. However,
I don't know how that happened.
I don't either, man.
New York Yankee, Atlanta Falcon, and L.A. Laker fan guy.
Hey, well, you know what? When you're in Hawaii, you don't have a professional sports team out there, so you just got to go
like
with what you got.
The West Coast teams, though, man.
Yeah,
I mean, you usually like the West Coast because that's what you get out there.
Where do the most Tongans and Samoans play for? But then we know that, you know, Philly's not winning this thing this year. So we get another year that we're safe to, you know, say, hey, Philly, where are those rings at?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
So, I mean, it's a win-win.
This is, yeah, it's great for us. Great for us NFC East haters out there. All right, let's get into it. Let's get into headlines real quick. The NFC Divisional Playoff game, Matty Ice and the Falcons were ice cold in yesterday's contest against the Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field. Atlanta was defeated by Philadelphia 15-10 in the early game on Saturday. The number 6-seeded Falcons were actually favored over the number 1 Eagles, but failed to knock off the Eagles despite Philadelphia turning the ball over twice. Matt Ryan went 22 of 36 on the day with 210 yards and tossed one touchdown to Devontae Freeman. Julio Jones double sticks, caught 9 receptions for 101 yards. Nick Foles started out cold, but heated up as the game progressed. Foles finished up on the game 23 of 30, throwing 246 yards, no touchdowns. None were needed. The Eagles defeated the Falcons 15-10. Philadelphia will host the winner of today's NFC divisional contest between the Saints and the Vikings. On to the AFC. It was business as usual for the AFC best. The New England Patriots. Yesterday, in the beatdown of the number 6 Tennessee Titans, 35-14 in the divisional playoff, Tom Brady dropped back 53 times, connecting 35 times for 337 yards, tossing 3 touchdown passes. Marcus Mariota had a decent day, going 22 of 37, throwing 254 yards through the air and 2 touchdown strikes, but it wasn't enough to defeat the number 1 seeded Patriots. New England will host the winner of Jacksonville and Pittsburgh in today's contest, and those are your headlines. Boys, what about yesterday's games, man? I mean, I thought we were going to see one heck of a contest out there with Philadelphia and Atlanta. I thought Atlanta had a chance to seize opportunity, the number 6 going into the number 1, and they failed to do so, man. 15-10, I mean, come on, I think the under here, the over-under was 40, something close to that. Not even close. God, Vegas, Vegas winning some more there, huh?
Definitely, man. You know what? I think all this proves is that Philadelphia is going to be a tough team next year when they get Carson Wentz back. If they can keep that core in their defense, they're ready to go. They are ready to go in to go out there and get themselves a ring. Once they get, like I said, once they get Carson Wentz back, I don't see them really doing too much with Nick Foles out there. You know, whoever they play next week, whether it be the Vikings or the Saints, those two teams are going to score points on them, and I don't think they're going to be. Their defense is great. Don't get me wrong, their defense is good, but we all know the issues that the Falcons have had this season. They've had a lot of issues in the red zone. They've had a lot of issues scoring. Yes, they did get a little bit hot towards the end of the season, but I think that was more because their defense was stepping up. Which, you know, their defense had a good game last night. They held them to 10 points, but at the same time, Matty Ice has to go out there and score some points, man.
Dude, what in that for? All right. That opportunity where he missed, he was looking for double six. He was looking for Julio Jones in the back of the end zone and missed his tight end, Tulatulo. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Tulatulo.
We need to fly. I'm not going to pronounce the Hawaiian.
The other tight end, not Hooper or whatever, but yeah. I think it's Tulatulo.
Stanford guy.
That's who he is.
The Stanford guy. There you go.
The tight end from Stanford. Okay. That was his first read. And he had him open for about 3 seconds, it looked like, on that sprint out. It was a sprint out to the right there. It looked like a flood to the right. Had the tight end breaking off as your first route, and then you had Julio Jones coming back as your release in the back of the end zone. And he was trying to force it into Julio Jones, and it just wasn't there.
And that was an ugly route by Julio.
Yeah,
it was
such
a bad
route.
And he slipped like 3 times.
I get it. You can jump out of Lincoln Financial Stadium.
But either way, if he would have came down with the ball, he would have been out of bounds anyway. His feet were out of bounds. Like, there's no way Julio is coming down with that ball.
So I don't understand the play calling there, and I think, you know, the Horn's own Brad Kellner even said this best, you know, Sarkisian, what are you doing here, man? I mean, you had a plan. You should have had a different type of plan for your playbook to roll out. I didn't understand this. You didn't utilize your power.
I think the Falcons thought that they were going to come out here and roll over the Eagles.
And they got rolled up.
Yeah.
They got rolled up by Graham and company and, Mike, it was bad. Dude.
So,
it was, that defense just took control. Philadelphia just took control.
So none of y'all thought when y'all saw the forecast that morning that Matt Ryan was going to struggle in that weather?
No, because I didn't see too much inclement weather. The wind was down.
He's a Boston College guy.
Yeah, but I mean, that was, what, 12 years ago that he was in Boston College?
True.
He's been in that nice, comfy, warm dome down in Atlanta, you know, putting up huge points. And, I mean, me and Lyle and Casey were in here yesterday, and we were looking at the forecast, and it said 15 to 25 mile an hour winds in the 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were like,
that's
man.
That's tough to plan.
Man, if this, you know, favors anybody, it's going to favor that Philly running game,
I would
because
think so.
That's just going to level the field. The wind and mini sports and volleyball is the great equalizer because it equalizes athleticism and it equalizes height. And when you're orchestrating an offense that's relying on timing and speed and you throw in this variable that you have no control over, it just messes with offenses.
Oh, no doubt.
Totally.
You know, it just destroys the continuity that they're used to having in a winless dome.
It's tough to play in that weather anyway. I mean, you got to be mentally tough anyways. And then, you know, to have everybody in unison and you know, have everybody fire off at just the right time, have everything clicking.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. Especially cold weather, you got to be strong. You got to be tough. And to speak to what Andrew was talking about, that's exactly what Philadelphia came out and they were trying to do. They were trying to establish the running game. They had a fumble right in their first possession with Ajayi, you know, and speaks to the weather as well. That ball was probably hard and you know, it looked like he had a good grip on it and then it just got punched out right at the last second. I mean, it popped out. You know what I mean? It popped out from the thud of his pads and everything. He was squeezing the ball so hard it just popped out. So yeah, I mean but that's how it was. That's what Philadelphia wanted to establish, and they just couldn't get it done.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what preparation came into the game for Atlanta. Like, I'm not sure if they stayed in Philadelphia and practiced out there the whole week before just to kind of prepare and get acclimated with the weather. But, their offense was just not clicking. Besides the two scoring drives that they had, the touchdown and the field goal, they barely even made it past the 50-yard line. I think the furthest that they got was, like, to the Eagles' 46. Besides the two scoring, the Eagles 46, oh, I'm sorry, 43. The Eagles 43 was the farthest down the field that they got besides the field goal and the touchdown that they had, which is inexcusable for such a high octane offense.
With all those weapons that you have in your, even Sanu. Sanu's a big body too, man, and he's got some speed, he's lengthy, and he should be able to reach, to get those. There were some dropped passes by Gabriel and company and a few others, but besides that, Sanu and Julio Jones, they're big wide receivers, they're fast wide receivers and physical that can go up and get the balls, man. If you're Matt Ryan, you got to throw to that strength, right? You got to put the balls in areas where the receivers can get them. But besides that, it established a running game as well. It looked like they were trying to do that. Coleman looked great coming out. I think he was like 10 carries for 70 some yards or whatever on the day. I'll have to look up that stat. But still, I mean, The switching back and forth between Freeman and Coleman, it didn't look like it was working for them well yesterday because one or the other just couldn't get into the rhythm. But, you know, despite the fact that it looked like Coleman was actually in a rhythm, but Freeman looked out of it. He missed a huge block on one of the plays that allowed Matt Ryan to get sacked for about 7 yards that just took, you know, that pretty much washed that whole drive right out of sync right there. And to me, that was happening. From what I watched, that was happening constantly over and over throughout the game, which it just looked like Atlanta wasn't hitting on anything. They were missing assignments left and right. And, maybe it was the cold, Andrew. Maybe it wasn't. But Matt Ryan did not seize opportunity.
No, I'm definitely agreeing with Andrew. I definitely think the weather had a whole lot to do with this. But they should have game planned for this. You know, they should know that they're a dome team.
Go up
they
there need... a week early.
Yeah, exactly.
They couldn't,
exactly.
But, I mean, go up there after they come back from the West Coast.
Yeah, exactly. Go up there and practice. Get used to the weather. I mean, Julio had a great game. He had 101 yards.
Yeah.
And Tevin Coleman, he was 10 carries for 79 yards. But you got to throw more screens. Get both running backs more involved. You know, get Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman involved. Like what they did with that one touchdown pass to Devontae Freeman, they should have been doing that the whole game.
Time. Yeah,
they should have been doing that the whole
exactly.
game.
Exactly. Take advantage.
Don't try
of
to go
the,
deep
the
all the time.
Rush. Take advantage of the pass rush that Philly is throwing at you. You know, to get them off balance. A little bit of draw here and there. A little bit of screen here and there. Or, oh my God. Am I out of my mind by thinking a tight end screen over the middle? Can we use the middle of the field, please? Because it was open the whole game.
So let me ask you this. You're saying that, you know, you should have adjusted and took into weather, you know, to account. I agree with you. But at what point do you stop becoming what you are and what brought you to this point, which is a team that really stretches the field? I mean, the Falcons always have stretched the field.
Yeah.
You know, since, you know, the Matt Ryan, Julio Jones era came into effect, or at what point do you change from that mindset to, again, okay, for this game only, we're going to be try to be dominant on the ground. We're going to keep things.
Well, that's not really the case, because last season they were very dominant on the ground. Last season, Devontae Freeman had one of his best career seasons.
And Coleman was 800 yards too.
Exactly, and yeah, that's the year that they made it to the Super Bowl. You know, so this year, I feel like they tried to go back to what you're saying they are, is a team that stretches the field. And obviously, you can see throughout the season, that hurt them a lot. Because Matt, you can't put the game on Matt Ryan's shoulders.
But to answer Andrew's question, I think, you know, when you divert from your plan, when you make an alternative plan, Mike Tyson said it best, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you got to be able to adapt. You got to be able to adjust. And it did not look like they could adjust.
It was one of those things that, just looking at the forecast, I just felt like this is going to be a war of attrition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, this is probably going to be a three-point, you know, one-score game.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, you know, and you know, props to the Philly defense though. Philly defense came out and they were ready to play. And Nick Foles, you know, he took care of business. He did what he was supposed to do out there: manage the game, and just make sure that they didn't get down. I feel like no turnovers. That's great for him. But you know, just make sure that they didn't get down. I felt as though if they would have gotten down on the score, like if Atlanta would have ever taken a lead, it would have been over. That would have been game over for them.
Agree.
Gents, we'd be remiss if we didn't get into it. We got to give the people what they want. It's the Who Do You Love segment. It's our signature segment. We've been failing to do this the past couple of days, just because, you know, there's just so much more football good content that we can talk about. And the, you know, the season long's dying out there, but we still have DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports, for those on platforms of DraftKings, FanDuel, Fantasy Draft. So let's get into it, man. Let's fire it off.
Go ahead, Daddy. Who do you love?
It's a queen. Thank you, Scotty. Boys, today, man, we'll do the Sunday slate real quick, though. I'll go into the Saturday-Sunday slate that I've been doing. I'm off to a pretty good start right now. And let's see, we're looking at, you know, off of a quarter bet, 25-cent bet, I'm up $5.
Nice,
yeah, exactly. I wanted to play it safe because we're getting hot in NBA, but this NFL with the playoffs, you just don't know what's going to happen. So, anyways, my quarterbacks that I got going in are that we're going into to the weekend. I had Tom Brady, who went off last night.
Oh yeah,
28 points got me. I still have Leonard Fournette to play. I had Deion Lewis as well. Now look, Deion Lewis got me 23 points, but he could have got me around 40 because James White took some touchdowns away from Lewis, and so did Bowden.
Yeah.
And the other running back there. I had Marcus Sanu. He was my letdown of the day. 8 points. Thanks, Matt Ryan. You should have threw to him a little bit more. And how about Danny Amendola? Coming in 17% owned, 25 points on the day for fantasy. And Davis there on the Titans, getting me 23 points as well. Rob Gronkowski, 20 points. And that Atlanta, hot Atlanta, not so hot yesterday up in Philly, getting me 6 points for the defense. I still have Mark Ingram and Leonard Fournette to play today in this matchup. Ray, how was your fantasy football for
yesterday?
So
I had the same quarterback. I had Tom Brady. I felt like you couldn't help but
team money,
just
baby.
Pick. Yeah, you got to pick up the goat, man.
Go
especially
with what you know,
especially
dude.
In that competition, you know, and then all the news around everything that was going around the Patriots organization these past couple weeks with him and wanting to get Jimmy Garoppolo out of there and Bill Belichick not happy and all this. You knew that they were going
to
come out here and prove a point. That's what the Patriots do. So, yeah, you had to go with Tom Brady. I made the foolish mistake of picking up Derrick Henry, who only got me 6.4 points, 12 rushes, 28 rush yards.
Is that the bust of the week?
Yeah, three receptions, 21 receiving yards. Definitely the bust of the week. But I didn't think hard enough about this.
You were a prisoner of yesterday, of last week.
Exactly, totally. I should have known that they were going to get down, that the Titans were going to get down, and they were going to have to just ditch.
They'd have to throw.
Yeah, just ditch the run game and go to throwing. But I did pick up Eric Decker, who had a solid game. He was only 3.4% owned, and he gave me 11.5 points. Yeah, 85 receiving yards. If he would have got a touchdown in there, it would have been great. And I had Delanie Walker. So I picked up the two Titans, the Titans' two top receivers, just because
Titan stack, right?
Exactly. Or just with Eric Decker and Delanie. No, just Eric Decker and Delanie Walker. Just because, like I said, I knew that they were going to get down and that they were going to have to throw in order to keep up. But I did not expect the Patriots defense to get after Marcus Mariota the way that they did.
I didn't either, man. What, seven sacks?
Speaking of the Patriots defense, Patricia, the defensive coordinator, looks like he's going to go to the Lions.
The Lions, I'm kind of sour on that. I really wanted to have him at New York.
Josh McDaniels, you still have a chance with him, but we saw what he did with Denver the last couple years.
Man. It's so safe for him. He's already got a veteran quarterback.
Right.
He's in his prime.
I think that was the way to go. And, you know, the Lions, they haven't been that bad defensively.
They were 9-7 this past year.
And, man, that division is open, man. A-Rod's at the end of his career. The Minnesota Vikings, they're good, but is this a
absolutely? It's definitely there for the taking.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough division, but it's wide open. And back to my picks. I still got Leonard Fournette to play today. I got Dede Westbrook to play today, and I got Juju Smith. Actually, I got a lot. Juju Smith-Schuster and Latavius Murray still all
right.
Ready
so
to
let's
play
go.
Today.
Let's go into Sunday only slate real quick. I know we're up against it right now, but let's break it down real quick for. For me, it's one quarterback because I want some budget and salary relief. It's got to be Case Keenum.
I totally 100% agree. Yep,
I mean,
I agree.
Now, granted, I know that the Saints defense has been coming on and playing strong lately, but I think Case Keenum can get it done. It allows me to get, you know, running backs like Alvin Kamara and McKinnon in my lineup. I think that's budget relief. I didn't know where to go here, though, man. I didn't know where to go here because you got to put a Steeler wide receiver in your lineup at some point. And I just feel like with the advent of Antonio Brown coming back this week, even though it's on a, you know, partially torn calf muscle, probably going to be a decoy. He's probably going to draw an assignment from Ramsey. And then you'll have the other defensive backs, which is, I think they're the best defensive back in secondary in the
in the league,
you know, in the NFL,
in the league,
man.
Yeah.
But I think one of them will draw to Juju Smith-Schuster. So I'm going to utilize Antonio Brown here. I think
Antonio Brown.
Martavis Bryant.
Yeah,
and I think he gets it done as the third wide receiver, especially maybe some garbage points through the middle of the field, probably, and who knows, maybe even a strike. So I'm looking at maybe 15 points out of Martavis Bryant here, and then on the other side, I like Diggs in the other game for New Orleans and Minnesota. Thielen's just a little too pricey there. You can get Diggs pretty much the same caliber of person, maybe a little bit more explosive. You can get him at a smaller price, down at around $6,000. And then for the home run hitter to the shot, just take a flyer on it. Ted Ginn Jr., right?
Oh, yeah.
Ted Ginn Jr. Low budget, gets you salary relief, and, you know, he's good for a home run ball. And, you know, got Rudolph there as my tight end. And then I'm going both running backs, Ray. For my flex, I'm going both running backs. I'm doing the double beast of the Saints. The Saints will come marching in, and they will run the ball and ground and pound, man. Drew Brees doesn't have to get it done through the air this week. I think Case Keenum's my quarterback. My running backs are the Saints running backs. Coupled a little bit of spice there with McKinnon and Diggs. And then we'll have that Steelers defense to round it out. How about you?
Yeah, so I 100% agree on Case Keenum. I just think that, you know, the way Drew Brees plays the game, the way that the Saints like to run their offense, Case Keenum's going to have to throw the ball out there too in order to keep up. They can't run the ball. And Case Keenum has proved that he is a reliable quarterback, and he can go to those receivers, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. And Kyle Rudolph, he has great targets out there. He can throw the ball. He can do anything he has to do. So I 100% agree with you on Case Keenum as QB. Running back, though, the reason why I go Keenum is so that I can go big on running back and get somebody like Bell. And the reason why I like Le'Veon Bell so much is
because
he's so pricey, but at the same time, man, the reason why I love him is because no Antonio Brown, and he is one of the killer bees out there, man. He's got to take a bigger step. And also, the Steelers are still thinking about franchising this guy, even though he has threatened to retire and quit. So he's going to go out there with a chip on his shoulder and have something to prove. So I really like him. Budget buster a little bit. I went down and got Latavius Murray as my second running back, just because I went with Le'Veon Bell, so I needed a little bit of salary cap room. I also really like Stephon Diggs. I picked him up as well. I like Juju, though, man. I really like Juju Smith-Schuster. I think Martavis Bryant does have a good game, but I mean, I don't, like you said, I think Antonio's going to be out there 100% just a decoy.
I'm worried Ramsey
partially
will get on
torn
Schuster.
Calf muscle.
Completely agree.
I'm worried Ramsey will get on Schuster, though. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, but I mean, no matter what, that Jaguar secondary, they're all tough. They are all tough. No, it doesn't matter who's taking you. So Big Ben's going to have to figure out a way to get them the ball, or the offensive coordinator is going to have to figure out these routes in order to get them open. Even just if it's a yard or two of space, you know, Big Ben's going to have to sling that rock in there.
But you mentioned Le'Veon Bell, and I agree with you 100%. I just think he's super expensive. He's, you know, the number one back, the most expensive back on the slate today. But, you know, the Steelers are thinking about those five interceptions, and they're going to want to establish a ground and pound game, and that's with a slash and pound game with Le'Veon Bell. So let's bring Andrew into this, man. You got any thoughts? Who might be your top performers of the week?
I'm just looking at the defense as the star of this Pittsburgh. I mean, honestly, of all four of these games, in Pittsburgh, obviously, we're in an outdoor game, and, you know, I just looked at the weather. It's cold, but there's not crazy wind or precipitation going on right there. But just, man, that Jacksonville Jaguar, like, front seven, especially their defensive line, is so good and dominant. Like, they got guys like Marcel Darius coming off the bench in their rotation. Like, that's craziness to me. Like, this is a guy who was an all-pro 3 or 4 years ago before he had some attitude issues and his play kind of declined. But, good Lord, they're just tough to run
against. Yeah, they got a succession plan. They got a good one. They got a good first group and a good second group. I mean, they can get after you.
Their defensive line is like the Alabama of the NFL. They're just super deep. So I'm curious what Big Ben. I completely agree with what Ray's over here saying about Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know how much he's been rehabbing, but with a guy who relies on his quickness and explosiveness to separate.
Exactly.
And then also timing. Again, we talk about timing as a key for him because he's known as an explosive route runner, not a big physical kind of Calvin Johnson kind of guy. Is he going to be in sync with, you know, Big Ben? So,
and I don't think they will. I think he's going to lose a few steps, not just a step. He's going to lose a few. Yeah. I mean, he has a partially torn calf muscle. I don't know how else to say this. Like, yeah. That's got to hurt, man. He's got to be in some serious pain out there.
It's got to take away from his get-up, too, right?
Exactly. Like,
and how much can you rely – here's another thing. How much can you rely on a rookie receiver in a playoff game against maybe the best defense in the NFL?
Yeah.
Get your head right, that's for sure.
I just feel like, man, some of these – like who do you pick on these offenses, you know? I mean – especially on Pittsburgh and Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Me personally, I wouldn't touch any of them.
Right. Well, I mean, which is why you see most of my guys are coming from the Minnesota New Orleans games. It's going to be a fun one to watch. That's for sure, Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. And to talk more about him when we come back, it's going to be David Zittick. He's the former writer from the Wagner Wire. Great guy here, man. One of my good friends. He used to play a little ball out at Shepherd College, Division II school out east in West Virginia. And when we come back, he's going to break down some defensive back play and who might just draw the assignments for Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, and those killer bees there in Pittsburgh Steelers. All that and more when we come back. You're listening to the Wagner Wire on the Horn.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to the Wagner Wire here on the Horn. With me, as usual, is Ray Gonzalez. Behind the glass is Andrew the Texan. Follow these guys on the Twitterverse. Andrew, just like I just said, Andrew the Texan on Twitter, and then Ray at Ray from the 361. I like to call him RG from the 361. A man with... There it is right there. There's that sound. A man with no social media presence at all is who I'm about to bring on right now, Mr. Dave Zittick. He is a former writer of the Wagner Wire, used to have a signature column on there, Just the Tip, which we've rolled over into a little bit of a radio segment here. But yeah, this guy, $10,000 winner one time on DraftKings, knows just about everything to that you need to know when it comes to breaking down a defensive back in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's why we're going to have him on, Mr. Dave Zittick. Hey, DZO2! Thank you, brother, for joining the show, man.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. Absolutely, man. What's going on up on the East Coast in West Virginia and everything? How's life? How's everything treating you?
Oh, as good as it gets. It's very cold, very cold.
Right on. All right, so let's break down this game a little bit here. First off, Antonio Brown's status. It looks like he is active, but how effective do you think he'll be?
I was actually surprised to see that he is active. I kind of thought they were going to use him as a decoy a little bit, having him practice all week, and then he catches a mysterious flu on Friday, and they send him home. I think he'll be limited in his effectiveness, but I think you'll see him out there a good bit, hoping to draw some coverage. I heard you guys talking about earlier.
Right on. So you think he's going to be more of a decoy, or you think he's actually going to be involved in the game plan?
I think he'll be slightly involved in the game plan, but the temperatures up there are so cold right now. I don't know how a guy with a calf injury is going to be ultimately effective when he's got to sit down for a while and then stiffen up. And I mean, how quick can you really recover from a calf injury
after maybe four weeks? Yeah, I don't care if it's partially torn or torn fully, but yeah, you got a great point, man. Especially in the cold, because the cold, I mean, you played defensive back. You got to cover these. You had to cover receivers, you know, kind of like this. Do receivers rely based off of their first step, right? So their acceleration is based off of their cap and their calf muscles and their explosion. If he can't do that, then it's going to be easy for Ramsey and crew to cover this guy, right?
Oh, clearly. Yeah. He wins his battles at the line of scrimmage and early into his route. He's not a top speed guy. You won't see. That's why you don't see him break too many long receptions. He gets his in the open field after 6 to 7 yards and makes people miss. So that's his biggest thing is his quickness, and that's off the line. And you got a guy like Ramsey who's stretching almost 6'3",
right,
and to get his hands on him early in the route. So it's going to be tough for him, I think, unless he is just really, really healthy, as they're saying he is. But I see it more, like you said, as a possible decoy. But I do expect him to be involved a little bit.
Well, with you know, with the absence of AB, well, not so much absence, but with him being more of a decoy, who steps up then as the wide receiver for Philadelphia? Or
Pittsburgh.
I'm sorry, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh. Jeez. Maybe Aguilar? I don't know. Come on, Wagner.
Yeah, he might be in there.
Yeah.
Stepping up, it could be a multitude of guys, I guess. Obviously, Juju draws the most attention as the number two. You see a lot of his routes are shorter. Now, Martavis has the top-end speed, and he's been known to have a lot of big playoff performances when he's actually not high on the weed. So you might see him have a big game today as well. But Juju will probably get the most targets, but a little bit of a sleeper here for you if you're still getting in your lineups. I'm expecting Vance McDonald at the tight end to have a big impact today. The Steelers like to come out and involve the tight end early to try to draw some of that defensive back coverage toward the middle to get the receivers back to one-on-one coverage where they can win. So I'd expect more out of McDonald today necessarily than a wide receiver to explode.
You know, I was going to bring that up to you. I was wondering, I thought Jesse James would be the tight end to get most of this advantage with Antonio Brown being out. So you're going McDonald.
James, he's kind of a different story. Whenever McDonald's healthy, they actually throw to him more often. He's just had limited games this year. But if you look at some of the games where he's been active, he catches a lot of deeper balls as opposed to James, who's catching the short stuff. McDonald's more what looks to be like a natural runner, and James is kind of a lumbering basketball player, if you will.
Nice. So good red zone target then, wouldn't you say?
James definitely draws the most red zone targets. Jacksonville, obviously with a stingy defense, it might not be that easy to get to the red zone, but I'm just looking for McDonald to loosen up that middle of the field.
Definitely.
To force those defensive backs that are so good to kind of collapse a little bit.
Hey, DZ, what will Jacksonville look to do as far as trying to neutralize this Pittsburgh offense? I mean, who will cover who? What assignment will Ramsey get?
Well, Ramsey, he stays on his side of the field. He doesn't travel?
All right.
No, he doesn't travel that much. Because when they played earlier this year, they noticed he did not draw Antonio every time. He drew him a lot of the time, but they will hold him more to his side of the field because Bouye is almost as good.
As good, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a great point there. So, I mean, I guess, but Ramsey's the bigger, you know, the longer defensive back of the two. So I'm guessing that, I would think that he would go more on Martavis Bryant just because of the height matchup.
Yeah, you definitely could see that. Bryant doesn't work out of the slot really at all. Ramsey can cover anybody at any position. So, yeah, if he's going to split out wide, I would look for Ramsey to try to stay on him because they're almost equally in their length.
You know what? Well, so we're 100% talking about the Pittsburgh offense versus the Jacksonville Jaguar defense matchup. What about the Jags offense? What do you see them doing? Do you see Leonard Fournette carrying the ball 50 times? What do you think is going on with the Jacksonville offense in order to get some points on the board?
Yeah, clearly their offense is struggling, especially the past few weeks.
Yeah.
Bortles doesn't bring much to the table as of recent, but Fournette clearly, you know, he took one to the house on the Steelers over 90 yards last time they played. I would look for them to keep him heavily involved just to keep the Steelers offense off the field and try to kind of control that clock, if you will. I would expect him to get plenty of carries, definitely. Mid-20s at least, just like last time.
And, you know, last time they played, Ryan Shazier was on the field. This time, no Ryan Shazier. So I think that the Jacksonville Jaguars will take advantage of the middle of the field against the linebackers.
Yeah, but you'll essentially have Pittsburgh, I'm assuming, putting Neat in the box because they know Blake Bortles can't throw the ball. So
That's true.
Dave, do you see that?
Yeah, definitely. With Shazier out, it overly has been exposed that we have no speed at the inside linebacker position, flat out, period. There's no one that can touch him in his speed. And with a guy like Marquise Lee, he runs a lot of drag routes between that 7 to 9 yards, and he's going to cross the face of those linebackers repeatedly. And I would expect him to actually get a lot of targets, say, in that short intermediate routes, exposing the linebackers.
Which brings up a great point, man. If you had, you know, what's your top picks? What's your top fantasy picks out of this contest right here?
Whew, that's pretty tough. Fournette, I think, is going to get the bulk of the carries, but if you look at his numbers from the last game they played, prior to the last run of the game, he was like 27 carries for 91 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, that there's nothing wrong. That's a good game. But that one play really put him over the top.
Right.
I don't think he's going to do that today. I'm also curious to see if these guys are going to be able to, how they're going to fare in this cold weather. But for a top player on the Jags, I might have to go with somebody like Marquise Lee just for the amount of targets that I think he's really going to get in that short range. And you know Bortles isn't going to push the ball downfield. He didn't last game. Seemed like they played a very conservative game, not wanting him to make a mistake. So I would say Lee on the Jaguars side. For the Steelers, that's almost a coin flip, I think. I think Bell's going to get a ton of touches, I think more so, in the receiving aspect of the game, running these DBs off with the wide receivers and him catching 10 to 12 checkdowns. So definitely I would go with Bell as my workhorse and accumulating the most points fantasy-wise for the Steelers and Lee for the Jags.
Man, yeah, that's another... I got to switch my lineup all around. Dave just sold me on some
stuff. Another thing we never even brought up. We're talking about Juju and Martavis Bryant taking over for Antonio Brown. We all forget Le'Veon Bell is a great receiver as well. He has hands.
Yeah, I think he was top 10 in receptions in the NFL as well, so almost around 80 or some point, but I got to bring that up. Hey, Dave, one more question before we let you go because we're up against it. Super Bowl picks, what's your prediction?
Now I'm going with the blind homer here, I'm a Steeler fan. So yes, I'm going to pick the Steelers today for sure, and I think they will get by the Patriots next week. And I think it just might be the year where the hometown team makes the Super Bowl.
Wow.
I definitely have more confidence in Drew Brees, but I think they might struggle a little bit on the road. I'm going to go with the Steelers and the Vikings, and yes, the Steelers will win the Super Bowl.
What a time to be alive. All right, hey, they'll get that 7? Is that what they'll get? The Steelers will finally get the stairway to 7? Is that the saying that you guys have out there?
As much as I hate that saying, yes, that is what the T-shirt
reads. I said it because I know. That saying and the dude from the Sonic commercials, I really have a problem with. The passenger guy, the guy in the passenger seat from the Sonic commercials. But anyways,
you love that guy.
I do, man, and I love you too, man. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, fellas, take care. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
thank you. There he goes, DZ02, man. Used to be dude, he was a great writer. Like, all of his stuff, he did this little segment called Just the Tip. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to roll it over, you know, to the radio, but and have this guy on every week. But he's just—I mean, you heard him. He knows how to.
He knows exactly what he's talking about, man.
He it's like a preacher in church. For those of y'all, you know what I'm saying? For those of y'all that don't get the church and you guys are listening to this show, you degenerates out there, we love you for it. Thank you very much. But, yeah, Dave's definitely a guy that you want to hear. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Adam Burns. He's going to give you his picks for this weekend. All that and more in store when we come back on the Wagon Wire. You're listening to The Horn. Yes, sir. Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on the Horn. 104.9 AM 1260, streaming live at hornfm.com. With me is Ray Gonzalez and Andrew Baker, the crew, the three best friends that anyone's ever had, that anyone's known. All right, and just as we do every week, we bring him on to give us his best picks of the weekend for NFL. Adam Burns from SolomonSportsHandicapping.com. Burnsy, how you doing, brother?
Good, Wags. How are you today?
Doing fantastic, man. We got a great, great slate on the shelf today. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see this Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game. How do you feel about it?
Well, I like Pittsburgh in this game. Even Roethlisberger is 7-1 at home in his last eight playoff games. But Jacksonville against AFC North is also 7-1. The stat that I really like that is a great stat, this is a trend that also works against New Orleans in the game with Minnesota today. When a team loses their last game of the regular season, they win their first playoff game, and then the second playoff game, they are a road underdog. In that situation, the road underdog has won 10 times and lost 27 times. This goes back to the 1997.
All right. Well, I mean, God, I'll take that. God, that's
those
a pretty
are
long
stats for you right there.
It's a long trend.
It's a long trend, but it's been a great one for the years for me.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't doubt you, Adam. What else you got, brother?
Well, on the Minnesota game also, as a home non-division, playing a home non-division team, they're 21-4 the last 25 times out. I'd like to say, I think Minnesota, I make Minnesota a double play. I make Pittsburgh a single play for the simple fact that, as I mentioned, Jacksonville is 7-1 against AFC North. I also think today that I'll be very surprised if Jacksonville's offense with Bortles, quarterback passing-wise, passes 200 yards. I don't think it'll happen. I just don't think Pittsburgh's going to stay Jacksonville's going to stay on the field with them very long today. I look for like a 17-20 margin.
Oh, okay, so you're taking Pittsburgh and the points as well.
Pittsburgh giving the points.
Awesome. Okay, I wasn't sure if you were taking Pittsburgh on the money line or the points. And as far as the Minnesota game, you're giving Minnesota the 5 points as well?
Yeah, I'm saying not on a money line, just a regular pick. Let Minnesota give New Orleans 5. Minnesota should cover.
Nice.
What about these over-under, Adams? Or Adam, what do you like for the for me, man, I think that both games right here, I think both of them hit the under here. What about you?
Well, I really didn't like the over and under in any game. They're very weak as far as my picks. If I have to have one of them, I would probably take the Pittsburgh under, but I don't think it's really strong enough. I wouldn't recommend it as a wager myself, but, you know, if you got to have one, take Pittsburgh under, but I don't like the over and unders today at all.
Right on. Yeah, it's some scary games especially, but these are the games that kind of put the money in the pocket, Adam, and that's why we have you on. So, hey, man, moving forward, If we got to go right now, who's your picks for the Super Bowl?
Right now, I think it would be Minnesota and New England playing for the title, and I think Minnesota will win at home.
Wow! There it is, look right at that. There. Hey, Adam, you gonna have anything special for the Super Bowl coming up?
Well, yeah, we've got a few things, and Wags, I need to talk to you more about this, but we've got a little deal where we can talk about the 100 to 150 Super Bowl individual game trends that are out there.
All right, like prop bets and stuff?
You got it.
All right, that sounds good, man. Don't threaten me with a good time. You know that. I got money on the sun coming up, as most of these people do around these parts. Yeah, man, hey, let's get into it a little more when, you know, off the radio here, and I'll talk to you about it here. But, hey, thanks, man. You got any? Before we let you go, tell these people where they can find you.
At SolomonSportsHandicapping.com. Also, we'll mention that since October 1st, our record has been 63 wins and 33 losses.
Look at that.
Yeah, well, that's trending hot.
That's not bad for the last 3 months.
Nah, man, I'll take
that
any
day.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, hey, man, thank you very much for coming on the show. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right, Wag. Sounds good. Have
all right.
a good week.
All right, Burnsy. See you later.
Later, Burns.
There he goes right there, Adam Burns, SolomonSportsHandicapping.com. Get all you need to know right there for you degenerates. My God, man. What is that? What was that stat? Six? What was it?
63-33 or 68-33?
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Easily. All right, Ray, what games are you looking forward to today?
Both games, man. I like both games. I think that there will be a lot more scoring in the Minnesota and Saints game. The Pittsburgh game, I mean, it's just going to be very similar to what we saw in Philadelphia yesterday. Two defenses out there just kind of grinding it out. If there is going to be any scoring, it's going to be from Pittsburgh. Just because they have the offensive weapons to do so, I don't know.
You don't think Jacksonville gets it done with Fournette or anything?
I think if Jacksonville loses the lead, it's over.
It's over.
They're not the type of team to come back being down 10 points or anything like that.
You don't think their defense can get them back in the game?
I don't know, man. I mean, unless Big Ben goes and throws five picks again, I don't see it happening.
Nope.
I don't see it happening whatsoever. So I like Burns' picks right here with Pittsburgh taking the points, the 7 points on this one. So, I think Minnesota and the Saints game will be much more fun to watch. A lot more points scored. I think Minnesota takes this one. I think Minnesota takes this one home.
Right on. Let's go to the Horns, AB.
Yeah,
AB, what you got?
I'd imagine this is going to be somewhat of a track meet up in Minnesota. As good as that defense is, I could see a lot of fast play up and down the field.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Minnesota's not afraid to score points.
No, definitely not.
They have the ability to, so, and that's what the Saints have been ever since, I mean, hell, before Drew Brees got there, back in the Joe Horn days, they were trying to run up and down that dome, so.
Yeah.
Over-under on this game is 46.5. So we could be, I mean, Vegas thinks we're going to see somewhat of a show. I mean.
I would honestly take the over.
Oh, yeah.
In this
I would
game,
take the
yeah.
over on that one, yeah.
In this game, definitely the under for the first game. Though,
yeah,
sure.
yeah, for sure. But I'll take the over on the second game. And, you know, just like Andrew was saying, I think Minnesota has to go out there and they have to play really, really fast offensive ball. Like, I see a lot of no huddles. I think that's the only way Case Keenum can get in their good rhythm and also keep the Saints defense on their heels. So that's how I see them scoring. And Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs are just great receivers. Kyle Rudolph is another great
Keenum's
receiver.
Keenum's a winner, man.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it, man. Everybody throwing shade on Keenum. Keenum's a winner.
He is. I mean, he's proved it up to this point so far.
And,
so
look, let's see. All right. Goff struggled last year. Keenum struggled last year. Guess what? They had the same coach.
Yeah.
You know who it was?
Jeff Frickin' Fisher. The stash.
Who's trying to take credit for all the success that the Rams is having this year anyways. Get out of here, Jeff.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You're the Mr. 8-8. You are Mr. 8-8.
Go get in the pub. I'll find you in the corner. I'll buy you a beer, okay? I'm sorry that you're having such a bad time.
I don't know, man. I think Keenum's like another kind of John Kitna kind of quarterback.
I don't know, dude. Keenum.
Like, he has this one great year, and John Kitna had a couple good years in Cincy before, you know, Carson took over when, you know, he was younger. But,
hey,
I mean, come on. Do you really think this is sustainable?
Yeah, man. He's persevered. Not only has he, you know, been so hot and been able to come back from everything, the Minnesota Vikings have. They have dealt with injury after injury, man. I mean, Cook going down, Bradford
That's
going
true.
Down, and guess what? They've been resilient, and they've come back, and they're still, they
yeah.
are,
and Case
they're
Keenum
playing
much,
for a chance to play at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Case Keenum has played much better than Sam Bradford did while he was starting.
Absolutely, 100%.
Let me ask
I think
you
that too, man.
Let me ask you this. Remember, the likes of Derek Anderson and Nick Foles have led their teams, you know, to winning records and
Rex
have
Grossman,
been to Pro Bowls.
Rex Grossman,
I mean,
went to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And all
but
those guys were...
Rex Grossman had a great defense, though.
Yeah, he did. But so does,
so
Case
does Minnesota.
Right? So no
does
doubt,
Case Keenum.
No doubt,
I mean,
no doubt.
Again, it's just a weird world that we live in that the likes of Case Keenum can lead a team deep into the playoffs.
But Case Keenum's not throwing the interceptions that Grossman and all those other guys were throwing. I mean, Derek Anderson was good. He had a great year up in Cleveland. He took Cleveland to the playoffs. God,
no, they didn't go to the playoffs. They had like a 10-6 record.
They still got shafted.
Yeah.
That was when the AFC North was really good, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, hey, dude, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I really... For me, man, the game to watch is obviously going to be this Pittsburgh-Jacksonville game. It's going to be a battle of the minds. I really can't wait to see how just dynamic Le'Veon Bell is. Remember Marshall Faulk? Everybody remembers Marshall Faulk. This is the next best thing we have to Marshall Faulk is Le'Veon Bell.
Do you think he retires next year if they franchise him?
No.
No?
No. He's too good, man. Come on. I don't see why.
I think, I think he should. I think he should go and check free agency. I think you should go check out the free agency market. Me and Rod talked about this on the Rodcast earlier in the week. Running backs are a dime a dozen, man. Look where you were able to find Kareem Hunt. Look where you were able to find Alvin Kamara in the draft. He's already getting up there in age.
We'll see. All right, that's going to do it for us.
You kind of get a point.
Want to thank Andrew Baker for running the dials, the knobs, turning everything, making the music good, and having our guests on the air behind the glass. So thank you, Andrew Baker, for that. Hey, Ray Gonzalez, a diddy diddy dum bum. What is it? Thank you very much.
Bitty bitty bum bum.
Thank you very much as well. Every week, man, you guys do it great. Thank you so much to Dave Zittick for coming on the Wagon Wire. Thank you for Adam Burns. And thank you to you guys for listening to it. For all you guys out there, we'll see you next week. Enjoy the ride.